You know, I think the Steelers have a pretty familiar look to them. They got a couple, you know, new faces in there, like every team does. But they certainly see, you know, a lot of quality players offensively. You know, with Roethlisberger, first receivers there, Brown, Crosby, Heath Miller, you know, Sanders. The group, I think their backs are good. Bell's been impressive in his opportunities. Dwyer runs hard. Jones, that's in close situations. He's a good job, too. Big offensive line. And defensively, it's, you know, similar package to what, you know, it's always been with Dick here. Their blitz zones and pressure packages. Palomalu's been very impressive this year. I know he was had some nagging injuries last year, but he's a major force on the field, very disruptive. Tackles, blitzes, penetrates the line of scrimmage a lot, fouls up plays, and somebody else might end up making the tackle, but he's a very, very disruptive player for him. The guys up front, the linebackers, you know, don't do a job. The opposite, Woodley, which Simmons is a big factor. His pursuit, speed,
so with all the personnel losses you guys have had on defense to this point in the season, how important has Devin been, not just from an on-field standpoint, maybe as a captain and as a leader as well?
Well, Chris, Devin's done a good job for us, like he always does. He's very well prepared. He's been real durable, been out there, you know, every day, and giving us good communication and leadership. You know, along with Steve, yeah, Steve have both done a real good job of controlling the defense from those safety positions and to the linebackers, and we've been in a lot of global defensive back defenses this year, like dying type situations because of the teams we've played and the situations we've been in. And so, you know, that involves a lot of communication back there, and they're always right at the center. So, Devin, you know, great example for all of us. Work ethic, his toughness, he's just a solid worker, great kid, communicates well, he's smart, and very dependable guy for us. So as Steve has at the other safety position, we've been fortunate all year for, you know, what those two guys have given us, and not that extent to the rest of the secondary and even the linebacker performance pretty much.
Bill, just curious where things at this point might stand with Sebastian and his status, and what you lose with him going out, and what you gain with Marcus possibly stepping in there.
Right. Well, you know, I haven't caught up with our guy at the medical department yet today. That'll be something we'll do later on this afternoon, so find out a little bit more about what the situation is. And Sebastian's coming along. With Cannon, you know, Marcus is his third year, and just, you know, already earned a lot of respect from everybody. His rookie year, what he built, his honest cancer treatments, and you know, elevated to the roster. He's, you know, coming along, and then, you know, last year, well, he's got some playing time, and then this year, you know, sort of some inside of guard and also a tackle. He's gotten better each year. Got good skills for his size. Athletic guy who has good feet. Good people in the running game. Has the quickness to block him in protection. And playing strength. So, got an opportunity to play last week. Stepped in. And did a good job for us there. Second half against Miami. Sure, he had a good attitude, good preparation this week in Pittsburgh. Great to meet the challenge, too. And a solid guy for us. I think he'll get the opportunity to play here.
So, Bill, we got about 3-plus hours until the trade deadline hits. Would you characterize your conversations right now as busy, or does it seem as if you're going to be standing pat as this deadline approaches?
You know, to be honest with you, Tom, I've been really this morning involved in know, game planning and trying to get things organized here on Pittsburgh and all that. So what's the point here? I'll catch up with, you know, guys. It's kind of hard. Sure. But that's, again, it's the part. It's always hard to predict that the 50-50 said last year, the league situation that, you know, one of those transactions that I got turned in about, you know, 359-45. So you just never know. But right now, I'm focused on Pittsburgh. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, so we would be ready to play on Sunday.
Hey, Bill, just obviously, he stayed a Steeler, but there are some interest this offseason in Emmanuel Sanders, and not so much in the construct of what he could do for your offense, but just how would you evaluate his physical tools on the field and what he brings, just regardless of who he's playing for?
Right. Well, field, I'd say that he's you know, an explosive player. You know, he had a kickoff return. You know, 100, I don't know how far it was, like about 708 yards, whatever it was, against Baltimore. You could really see his speed and explosiveness and a big playability on that play. You know, they ended up calling him, saying that he stepped out of bounds, but, you know, it was a heck of a play. And then, you know, we had the two-point play last week against the Raiders where, again, he got out in space, shoot a couple guys and showed his speed and acceleration to get the goal line. So I think that's kind of, you know, what he's been able to do. He's dangerous on catch and run plays like tear screens, which they run a lot of, reverses and, you know, kick return, things like that. You know, I get the ball again, but he's also you know, a good route runner. Thickness, obviously speed, big playability. So He's been a productive guy for
him. Well, I'm curious your thoughts on the performance of Ryan Allen through the first eight games of the season.
Well, I think Ryan has moments for sure. He's, for some of the situations he's been, I think his situational running has been, you know, pretty good. Moved into the plus 50 areas. There's definitely had a, you know, big leg and the ability to change field position. And I still think there's a lot of room for improvement. He's got a good talent, level of talent, but also consistency is an issue. And these conditions that he's in, and kicking through the second half of the season up here, you know, will be, I'm sure, challenging at some point. They've definitely been that way in practice. That's the way it was against Miami on Sunday. I think you saw both punters, you know, not the type of days that we, you know, see them have in better conditions. I think his holding's been pretty good, you know, been pretty efficient. Kicking the ball there with Danny and Ryan and Steve at operations. Well, I think he's coming along, getting better and just regular punting, situational punting, folding, you know, all the areas that he's involved in, and still, you know, has a lot of room for improvement. He's working hard, and stay focused and stay consistent. Been a good opportunity for a good career.
Hey, Bill, this is kind of a follow-up on punting in general. The coffin corner kick seems to be almost non-existent anymore, certainly a lost art. And I was just curious about, you know, your thoughts, having coached special teams as a young assistant, and just the evolution of that aspect of the game, situational punting and angling the punts out of bounds deep inside the opposing team's 20-yard line, as opposed to now with so many other kickers going to that Australian style of kick.
That's really an interesting question, and that's you know, a trend that, you know, has kind of changed gradually through the years, and now it's, as you said, it's almost extinct. You know, similar to the punt formations that you know, I saw it when I came into the league, which almost never had attached guys, you know, split receivers, gunners, like we call them now, and how that evolved from tight punt to one split guy to two split guys to where now you almost never see the gunners in tight unless, you know, you have a situation like we did where, you know, we're playing with a two-score lead, it's under 2 minutes to go in the game or something like that. So, you know, I think the Aussie style punting, you know, the ability to kind of put backspin on the ball, to have the ball hit and generally bounce back away from the goal line, is just a higher percentage kick, and trying to angle it for the corners. Also, you know, angling those corner kicks is also a little bit of an issue in protection because now you're not protecting the punter where you normally are to try to walk right down the middle behind the center. But you're kind of shortening the edge or you have to, you know, you either got to catch the ball behind the center and then walk the angle which shorten the edge, or you got to offset like a couple yards to one side so that when you kick the ball, it's behind the center, but now the center's got to snap it, you know, a couple yards sideways. So there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's tricky, but you know, it's definitely a little bit different going with the corner kicks, and it just seems like the punters now are more experienced, and they're coming in with a better, they do a better job of executing the Aussie style punts with the end over end of the ball. You know, a lot of times hits and comes back away from the goal line, fewer touchbacks than they are just directional punting in general, and typically directional and offensive. You hate to see that, or as you put it, lost from the game, but don't see it much anymore. Now you see a lot of guys, and Fields is a good example of that. Not so much in Sunday's game, but you know, over the course of the year, the conditions, you know, weather for it's another guy that's a good directional punter that a lot of their punts land, you know, out of bounds or, you know, a yard or two from the sideline that really pins the returner back. And, you know, those guys have so much confidence and they're so good at doing that. They don't have those shank punts that, you know, if you're trying to put it on the sideline and you hit it off the side of your foot, you know, it's a 20-yard punt. But if you do it right and you hit the ball right, then it's a 50-yarder and no return, which obviously will beat the league every year if you listen on that. And these guys are pretty good at it. So I think there's still an element of that directional kicking, but it's certainly not what it used to be. And it's changed a little bit. I think the other part of the Aussie punting is it forces the returner, you know, to make that decision around the 10-yard line, you know, or wherever the ball comes down. But you know, those guys try to drop it in that 5 to 10-yard line area. So now the returner's got to, you know, make his decision as to whether to catch it, whether to let it go, handle the ball in, you know, if it's less than ideal conditions. And then also, you know, the possibility of having guys kind of standing right there and he catches it to, you know, distract them or, you know, be ready to, you know, get on the ball if he must it. Whereas, as you know, when you cough in corner, it takes the returner out of play. So I think the combination of all those things is why it's sort of shifted the way it has.
Bill, I know you said earlier this year when asked about the struggles in converting third downs, and obviously if you leave yourself third and long, that's going to be a factor in how successful you are in converting it. The last couple of weeks, has that still been a big factor, or are there other things at play that has made it a bit difficult in extending some drives?
Yeah, well, that was less the case in the Miami game. And we had many more opportunities. I don't think we had a third and 11 or more. I think everything was, you know, under 10, and a lot of them were shorter. So the yardage was much better, and that should have translated into a higher conversion rate. So that's, you know, part of the battle, but we still obviously need to do a better job of that and in our execution and you know, the our play calling, our execution, just, you know, everything. But since we just ended up with, you know, plays that didn't match up well with what they were doing, and other times we had plays that should have matched up well, but we did, whatever reason, a protection problem or a route problem or a bad throw or whatever it was, we weren't able to hit it. So just our overall where it needs to be, but that was a lot better than it was the week before against the Jets, or even a couple weeks back against Cincinnati, where we were half of our third downs were 10 or more. That's, I know that really makes it difficult. You'd like to get, you know, a few of those, but realistically, you know, that's not a high percentage situation. So, a combination of factors, but certainly the shorter we can make it, the higher our conversion percentage should be, but we still have to go out there and do it.
Yeah, it's Kevin McNamara in Providence. Bill, just to continue on the kicking thing, Steve Gostkowski statistically is having as good a year as maybe he's had with you. Is he getting better, or has he just been, you know, giving some really good, you know, makeable kicks thus far this year?
No, I think Steve's had a real good year. And he's certainly made plenty of big kicks for us in the past, but I don't think the kicks this year have been, you know, particularly easy. You know, he's had a lot of them at the end of the game, you know, start the Buffalo game. And he's had some long ones, critical ones, like the one I have. At the end of the Jets game, you know, I don't think it was, you know, any kicks really deep the extra point, but you know, after that, it's, you know, they all are challenging one way or another. But he's hit the ball well, and he's kicked off very well. Not a lot of consistency there, but much better on balls that weren't much better. Hangtime was good, and that gave our coverage an opportunity to get out the number of passes inside the 20-yard ball. You know, Steve works hard. He's got a strong leg, got good mentally focused and disciplined. Really very professional in his approach to kicking. Also has a good way of just focusing on his kick and not getting caught up in all the other things that are involved, so that he can just do his job, get distracted or get overwhelmed by whatever the situation is. Things are going on. And good in weather conditions that aren't ideal. So, good job for a number of years, but this year.